This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what a day of rejoicing it is on this Palm Sunday, as our music has lifted our spirits and reminded us of Jesus' triumphal entry. I'd like to say a word of welcome to all who are joining us today, whether you're on live stream or here in the sanctuary. We are glad to be together and know that the Spirit of Christ unites us in this holy day of worship. I would invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, you can click on the link there in front of you. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you would sign those and pass them down and back again, that will give us a chance to know that you're with us this morning. As we gather, just a few announcements. Palm Sunday begins Holy Week in our Christian tradition, and we have several opportunities to walk with Christ to the cross this week. Our Maundy Thursday service will be on Thursday night at 7 p.m., service of Holy Communion, remembering the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples. Our Good Friday service will be at noon on Friday, and then Easter Sunday, we begin early at 6:30 in the Cloister Garden with a sunrise service. And then worship services at 8:45 and 11. In between those two services, we'll have a simple Easter brunch, a time of fellowship, which we've all been longing for. And that will be in McWhorter Hall and the West Lawn. And all of this is, of course, weather permitting. We are going to have an Easter cross, once again, a flower cross. So if you're a gardener and you have some flowers in your yard, bring one of those flowers to add to our flower cross. There will also be some to the side. If you're not a gardener, like me, there'll be some flowers provided for you so you can participate too. I want to introduce our preacher for this morning. Reverend Dr. Artura Eason-Williams is with us. She is back in the narthex waiting for our processional. But Reverend Eason-Williams is the district superintendent of the Metro District in the Memphis area. Prior to that, she was the pastor of Capelville United Methodist Church in Memphis for 13 years. Before that, she served on the conference office staff in the Memphis Conference, and she is currently our nominee for bishop. Our conferences, the Memphis and Tennessee conferences, recently started a new conference together, and we have placed our heart behind her as she makes this journey. She is married to Darrell, who's with us this morning, and have four children, one of whom actually is at TSU, so here locally in Nashville. But more than all of those things, she is my friend and our sister in Christ, and we are so looking forward to the powerful word that God has placed on her heart for us in worship this morning. Because this is Palm Sunday that moves us toward the Passion of Christ, the ending of worship will be a little bit different. We will not have a closing postlude on the organ, and we invite you to leave in a contemplative spirit as we move into the events of Holy Week. If you would like to return your palms to the boxes in the Narthex and Reed Hall, that will allow us to share those with our congregation at 11 o'clock. But you are more than welcome to take it home to have with you during this Holy Week. So now, to prepare our hearts and minds for this moment of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, hear these words. Then the disciples brought a colt to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen.
Thank you. Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes with joy and hope.
He comes to set us free from fear.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest heaven.
God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Lord Jesus, we are a fickle people, quick to turn away. We flock to you when all is well, but we are prone to scatter when there is opposition or criticism. Too often we have kept silent before you, afraid to proclaim your praise. It is easy to join the crowd as you ride triumphantly into Jerusalem, singing our joys and expectations, dancing our hopes and dreams. It is far more difficult to stand by you as the crowd cries for your crucifixion. Forgive our weakness when we turn away. Strengthen us for the journey ahead as we relive your suffering and death, that we might stay beside you to the end. Give us the courage to shout our hosannas, not only today, but each and every day. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You may do that however you feel most comfortable here in the sanctuary, and we invite you to say something in the chat if you're visiting with us online. The peace of Christ be with you. Please be seated. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Martin and Jane Wiegand bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all this is God's gift offered to us without price. I don't know if y'all can see this smile or not, but this boy is happy to be baptized today. Amen. And so, Martin and Jane, as you bring him before us for baptism, we ask you these questions of the faith as you make your promises to raise him in the faith. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others.
We will pray for him to be a true disciple
who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your beautiful son?
Martin.
Ooh. Let's do this first, and then I'll let you play in it, okay?
Amen.
Martin Tripp, I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, God the Son who redeems you, and God the Holy Spirit who advocates for you and comforts you all the days of your life.
Amen.
Okay. And now we're all going to place our hands on you as the congregation together joins in the prayer for the Holy Spirit. Martin Tripp, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life.
Amen.
Amen. You just want to take the water with you, don't you? Oh, you thirsty? Let's go over here. So the congregation in the sanctuary and those worshiping on live stream can see you a little more closely as together we make our promises as a family of faith to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Martin Tripp? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Martin Tripp to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Martin Tripp, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. God, through Christ you give us the water of life. Make us thirsty for your word, that we may give witness to your great love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. A lesson from Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The children who are here in the sanctuary who would like to come join me up here for a moment together. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens. We're glad to see you too this morning. Come on down. Good morning, good morning. Glad to see you. You can have a seat. Oh my goodness, what a big crowd we have today. This is wonderful. I hope everybody enjoyed waving your palms this morning as we heard that story together. I did. I saw you waving your palms up high. It was so neat to see it from up here, everybody's palms. Well, welcome, everybody. I love watching the Olympics. And I remember a few years ago. Good, I'm glad you do too. I remember a few years ago, I was watching a race where there was a group of women and they were racing around the track really fast. And I was so excited at how fast they were running. But then all of a sudden, one of them kind of lost her footing and she started to fall. And she ran into the woman who was running next to her and they both fell down. And all the other runners kept on going toward the finish line. And one of the first one who fell down started to stand up and run some more because she wanted to win the race. But then she turned around and saw the other runner was still on the ground, and her foot was hurt, and she was having trouble getting up. So in that moment, this runner had to decide, should I keep running and try and win the race, or should I help this person who's hurt? And you know what? She decided to help the person who was hurt. She stopped and picked the woman up, and together, arm in arm, they limped across the finish line. And you know what? They lost. They came in last and second to last. But everyone was so inspired by them that they got to move on to the next race and try again. I think about that and that choice that she made, and it reminds me that it's more important to be kind than it is to win. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for times when we can see what love looks like. For someone who chooses to help and be kind instead of winning. Help us to notice when people around us might be needing help. Help us to offer help and to be loving, for that is how you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Aaron to Children's Church, then you fit right in. If you're older than that, you can return to your seats with family or friends. Thank you so much for being here.
And just like that, it's my turn. It is indeed a privilege to be invited by my sister, Carol Cavan Dillon, to be with you this morning. I don't know what Carol said about me earlier. I hope it was okay. I hope it was all good. But this is my husband, Darrell, sitting next to Stacy. He's faithful to, drive Miss Daisy when he can, and I'm grateful for him to do it. Thank you for the invitation to be with you today. I'd like to speak for just a few moments from the subject, the shape of discipleship. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this beautiful day, this beautiful sunshine and crisp, cold weather that you surround us with. The glory of your Holy Spirit that I see on each of these faces. God, pour yourself out on us now. Anoint us in this place. Heal us. Forgive us. Save us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, that we might go forth from this place to be the people of God you always knew and created us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What is the shape of discipleship? How do we live into the image and likeness of Christ? When I was growing up in church, and I grew up in a little church called Centenary in Memphis, Tennessee. Growing up in church, we were taught to do the things that Jesus did. To be a Christian is to live a cross-shaped life, to be a cross-shaped people. We are to love God and to grow in our relationship with God by doing the works of God, like works of piety, like prayer and worship and sharing in communion, sharing in baptism like we did today, reading scripture and fasting. We love our neighbor by feeding the hungry, welcoming strangers, caring for the sick, visiting prisoners, witnessing for Jesus Christ. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves by growing in relationship with our neighbor. And here's where I want to spend some time this morning. You see, I've been United Methodist all my life and a minister for a little more than 20 years. And if I failed anywhere in my own discipleship consistently, it has been in the call of cross-shaped living to love my neighbor as I love myself. I'm sure that I'm not alone. A little over 20 years ago, there was a movement called What Would Jesus Do? Anybody remember this? What Would Jesus Do? Somebody made a lot of money off of that. There were t-shirts and keychains, and everybody was wearing those colorful WWJD bracelets. Anybody remember this? And young people went out to do the things that Jesus did. The cross-shaped things of prayer and worship and feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. Some people did those things and checked them off of their list of things to do. Others did those things and something in them began to change. Change how they spent their time. Change how they spent their money. Change even their vocation. Change their view of the world and their place in it. And I think the difference between those who do works of piety and mercy and check them off their to-do list and the people who do works of piety and mercy and begin to see themselves and their place in the world differently is relationships. I believe the difference is relationships. We understand that we are to love God and to love neighbor, and we can do that. But we forget the relational part that is harder for some of us to do, especially in the margins. You know, I'm an introvert. People don't believe me when I say that, but I'm an introvert, but I can do extroverted things. Sometimes it's hard for us to be in relationship with people that we know, but when we get out there with people we don't know, with the stranger, with the poor, with the sick, with the demon-possessed, we're less likely to be able to see those people. We'll serve, but we won't see them. We like to serve, but it's hard for us to hear their voices. We like to serve, but it's hard for us to be changed. In our scripture lesson, Paul the apostle, whose government name is Saul of Tarsus, writes out of his cross-shaped relationship with Jesus Christ. Note that Paul wasn't one of the original apostles. After the resurrection, Christian communities were forming as the gospel spread, and Saul was employed by the Roman government to persecute Christians. As a matter of fact, it is said that Saul was the best in the business. Then one day, Jesus staged an intervention on the road at Damascus, and a great light blinded Saul, and he fell down and he heard a divine voice. He was blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink anything. In the meantime, Ananias received a divine revelation to visit Saul. Ananias laid hands on Saul, saying, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, sent me so that you may see again and may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, the scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized, like Martin Tripp was today. Jesus invested in a relationship with Saul, changed his name to Paul, and it is out of that relationship that Paul plants churches in Philippi, Galatia, Corinth, and Ephesus. He spends the rest of his life not only trying to do the things that Jesus did, but in our scripture reading this morning, he lets us know that he tries to think the thoughts that Jesus thought. There's some disagreement disrupting the body of Christ at Philippi, creating disunity among its leadership. Now, you know how leaders are. You get these type A personality types that think they're right all the time, or things aren't done right unless they're done our way. I'm just telling on myself. Then you have the more quiet leaders who don't have to have things their way, but you gotta watch them too. They don't want to do it that way. So they'll just move on to doing something else. And they won't say a word. And here we have everybody being right, but no right relationships. Jesus prioritized relationships. From the moment he personally invited 12 men to follow him to the moment he hung from an old rugged cross between two thieves, he loved us as he loved himself. Paul says Jesus was God, but he didn't use being God to his advantage. He made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He took on the nature of a servant, This is the mindset of Jesus. He came to serve, not to be served. And in his serving, he spent time with people who were considered a problem. He submitted himself to relationships with folks in the margins. He saw the sick and the blind and those possessed by demons, and he heard their cries and he drew near to them and changed their lives. But he also allowed them to change him. There was a Syrophoenician woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit. She came and fell at his feet and repeatedly asked Jesus to cast the demon out of her. And the famous line of Jesus, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But that Syrophoenician woman came back with this, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." The scriptures say Jesus responded, "Because of your answer, go, go, the demon is gone from your daughter." In that moment, Jesus could have been right, but the righteousness of God is evident in right relationships. If we want to fully live into a cross-shaped discipleship, we must have a cross-shaped mind to follow God and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Gregory Ellison, author of Fearless Dialogues, writes of being in New York City on the train and an encounter with a 57-year-old homeless man who had been stabbed outside a train station on 9/11 and hospitalized for 68 days. And the day when Ellison encounters this man is the 68th day. The man said, "I'm recovering, but I need help. I need food, money, whatever, whatever you can offer." Ellison retrieved money from his wallet and with his eyes downcast, lifted his hand from his seated position. But the recovering man would not receive the money in his palm until Ellison looked up, catching his eyes with his own. The man responded, "Thank you." Then he sat nearby, pulling out a browning, half-eaten banana. And before taking a bite, his eyes found Ellison's again, and he said again, "Thank you." Ellison nodded in response, and as the train slowed and Ellison stood up to leave, the man reached out and grabbed his wrist. From a standing position, he looked downward at the man's reddened, watering eyes. And in a faint whisper, the man said, "God bless you, man. Thank you." Incapable of speaking, Ellison nodded his head again in gratitude for the 10-word lecture that changed his life. In this encounter with a homeless man, Ellison saw, heard, and his mind was changed. He began to question his own thinking and to seek out the mind of Christ. His work and ministry continue to be informed today by what he calls the long, loving look in a sanctified silence, followed by a litany of thank yous that caused him to reflect on what it means to be a neighbor and to help others to do so as well, to live intentionally as Christ did, to see, hear, and change the 3 feet around us, which also changes us. I imagine that long, loving look is the same look Jesus gave to the blind man in John's gospel before he started moving spit and dirt around and spread the mud over his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool at Siloam. I imagine the long, loving look is the same look Jesus gave the Pharisees in Luke's gospel when they complained that he receives sinners and eats with them. I imagine that it was the same long, loving look that Jesus gave them when he tells them three stories about lost things that offer a window into his thinking. He tells of a woman who searches high and low for a lost coin. Few of us have ever had a coin or will ever have a coin worth enough money or trouble to tear up the whole house. But have you ever lost your phone? I don't know about you, and my husband might kill me, but he lost his phone recently. And he searched high and low in the washing machine and everywhere for that phone. But isn't that just like God? Don't we serve a God who does not rest until he finds us? Like the parable of the lost sheep, he will not stop looking until he finds you. Doesn't matter what you have done or even what you're about to do. The mind of Christ is right relationship. The third story of lost things is known, it's called the prodigal son. It's about a father who doesn't act like us. This father lets his younger son, who isn't owed an inheritance, get an inheritance before the father is even dead. Anybody ever receive an inheritance that you didn't deserve? Well, let me help you. Every day we receive an inheritance in Christ Jesus we do not deserve. We are sinners saved by an amazing grace. Anybody ever receive an inheritance you didn't deserve? Okay, y'all can be quiet. It's all right. I'm used to it. Every day. Maybe you're quiet because you know that every day you blow it in some way. I know I do. Maybe we blow it in loose living like the father's younger son. Don't raise your hand on that. Maybe we blow it because we think we've earned our inheritance, because we've been so good, did everything we were supposed to do, like the older son. However we blow it, the father gives us an extravagant, extraordinary, indescribable love that is always welcoming and inviting and always ready to receive us back into the fold. Restoring right relationship is the very mindset of Christ. Cross-shaped thinking that informs our cross-shaped doing. And Paul leaves us with this, brothers and sisters. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, let us meditate on these things. For these form the mind of Christ and the very shape of discipleship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We have been invited to remember God's calling into a cross-shaped life. And as we begin our response to this invitation, I invite you to stand as you are able, in body or in spirit, and let us affirm our faith in the God who calls us to this life. You can find this affirmation on page 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our response to the Word of God by gathering our hearts and minds in a time of prayer together. I would invite you, if you have prayer concerns that you would like to share with the congregation or with the pastoral staff, to share those if you're worshiping online. There's a link you can click on under Contact Us on our website to let us know of your prayers. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pews in front of you that you can fill out and place in the offering plates. Your pastors gather every Monday for prayer, and we pray each prayer by name. As we gather in a time of prayer, we want to celebrate a birth in our midst. The rosebud on the communion table this morning celebrates the birth of Cosmo Coker England, born to Sarah and Matt England on March 31st. He's welcomed also by his siblings, Bing and Bertie England. And our prayers of love and sympathy go to Jewel McGee Rader and Leon Rader, who are mourning the death of Jewel's daughter, Kelly Dawn Perry, who passed away on April 6th. The details of the services are still pending. With these and others on our hearts, let us go to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of grace, God of love, and God of glory, you have called us to live a cross-shaped life, not only in the things that we do, but in the very thoughts that we think. You call us not to be right, but to be in right relationship. And so we ask that you would continue to transform us, that we might love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and love ourselves as you love us. Out of this ever-living, growing relationship with you, may works of mercy and compassion pour from us. Give us eyes to see all around us people created in your image. Help us to be generous and kind, to take care of one another, to care for the poor and the sick and the vulnerable, to take care of your good creation. Oh God, we thank you for bringing your witness, Reverend Dr. Easton Williams, into our midst this morning, for the powerful word that reminds us who we are and calls us to live more deeply into who you have created us to be. With all of these prayers, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we follow his footsteps this week all the way to the cross, to discover with joy once again the empty tomb on Easter morning. And so, as his people, we pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We continue our response to the love of God with the giving of our gifts today. If you're worshiping with us online, there should be a link in the chat for you to use to make your gifts today. And it is my joy to share with you in the sanctuary that we have the return of the passing of the offering plates today, and thanks to our ushers who are helping us to do that today. So if you are in the sanctuary and have your gifts, the plates will be brought to you, and we know that we all bring these gifts with gratitude and joy for all of the grace and love that has been poured into us by our loving God. So let us give this day with joy and gratitude.
Thank you.
bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace.